The reading is from Luke chapter 9, verse 57 to chapter 10, verse 1. The cost of following Jesus. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. Amen.
Some of you may be thinking, "Oh my goodness, it's 11 o'clock already and we've still got Matt to go." I am going to try and do this in 10 minutes, okay? If you want a stopwatch, I don't ordinarily ask you to put a stopwatch on for the preacher. That's really bad, but I'm okay with today, 10 minutes. Evan, if you can put the first slide on, that would be great. There's so much I could share today about Alison and what it means for God to call her and all that God is doing in and through us here at SBC over the last few months. But I'm going to invite you on Wednesday to come at 7:45 to the church members meeting to hear more about that. In these next 9.5 minutes, I want to really focus on Alison, but I want you to listen in and to grab some information perhaps or some sense of God leaning into you and speaking to you about this passage, because this is for all of us. Briefly, in 9 minutes and 10 seconds, I want to explore looking forward in leadership. And there are three things I briefly want to share: what it means to be a follower first, what it means to look ahead, and what it means to not go it alone. They're the three things. So the first, to be a follower first, to be centered and rooted in Christ in amidst the chaos and confusion of the world. This is, I think, your calling. Before your calling to SBC, before your calling to different places, even though you hold those lightly over those years, your first calling is to be a follower first, which may sound very obvious, very simple, but this passage is all about that. It's all about what it means to follow and who it is that you follow. I remember maybe before COVID, I came and did a talk here, Simply Jesus, that Peter arranged. And I came and gave a talk here, and it was facing that way. And I spoke about who you follow and talked about Facebook friends. Now, there's a touchy subject. Who is it that you follow? Who do you look at? Who do you like? Who do you not like? Who do you consciously act towards and who do you consciously not act towards? We explored that at Simply Jesus. We're not going to go into that right now. But there's a whole thing about following first, protecting who you follow. And church leadership, you know this only too well. You can get pulled in all sorts of different directions. But your first calling is to protect, cherish, nurture, enjoy, flourish that life-giving gift, which is the goodness of God, known in Christ. The disciples had argued amongst themselves, who's the greatest? What a ridiculous question. I mean, maybe put that on the church members' meeting agenda. Who is the greatest here at SBC? Who is the greatest? They were squabbling about their own following of Jesus. And then Jesus goes to Samaria, or through Samaria, and the Samaritans reject, they do not welcome Jesus and his followers. And then there is this conversation about, I will follow you, Jesus. It's a real determined attitude, a real sense of passion and conviction. I will follow you. And Jesus then says this strange phrase about foxes and their dens and birds and their nests, and the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Basically, Jesus is saying he's never been on Rightmove. He's never been on Rightmove. He's never sought the comfort of home. Why? Because his home is ultimately not in bricks and mortar, but in his relationship with the Father. I know you've been scrambling around looking for a home. We've been praying like mad that you get a home. You have found a home. Home is really important. But here, Jesus kind of rebukes or just gives back a really one-word sentence. I have nowhere to lay my head. And ministry sometimes feels like that. You try and escape and get a bit of time to yourself, but really, your mind's going over time. But may your home as a leader here be in the very life of Christ. You follow him first in obedience. And secondly, looking ahead, movement over maintaining. This church has changed over the last 12 months, and we know that. And that's a journey we've all been on, but we've been on it in different attitudes and different paces, there's no doubt. But there is something of God's Spirit at work and there's movement. It might not look like it. I've put on more weight since I've been here because the food's been so good. But there has been movement, progression, exercise in spiritual following of Jesus. People coming to faith, people being baptized, people forgiving one another, people looking forward. And I want to encourage you because this passage is actually about looking forward. Talks about, Jesus picks someone out of the crowd. He actually, someone says, I'll follow you. And then Jesus talks about foxes and birds and his own sort of sense of not having anywhere to lay his head. And then he looks at someone and says, follow me. And the person says, oh, let me just go and sort out. I need to bury someone in my family. And Jesus then comes back and talks about what it means to look forward and not look back. I was really struck by that phrase. I am someone who really holds on not tightly, lightly, but tightly to nostalgia. I'm someone who has a rose-tinted view about things. Hannah reminds me otherwise, but, it was really good back in the day. When things are going tough in the present, I look back and think, oh, I wish I was back there. It's tempting to do that. Anyone else like that? Anyone else nostalgic? Oh, the way we did that in church 10 years ago was better than today. Anyone ever tempted to do that? Yep, big hands, yeah. Actually, what Jesus is calling us to when it talks about cherishing, following first, that relationship, leadership is about following Jesus first, and from that foundation, it's about looking ahead, not looking in the past. The past shapes, the past helps with experience, 18 years plus. The past really does ground us, both the good experiences and the not so good experiences. We are shaped, we are formed, we're chiseled, we're like the clay pot that the potter molds through past experiences. But there's also, whilst that can be really good, there can be a real stumbling block to looking back all the time. Looking over your shoulder. It's as if Jesus says, it's a bit like when you've got, you're plowing a field and you've got oxen, you are looking behind and your arms, they swerve so you don't go straight. Look ahead. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. What does the future hold here at SBC for you, Alison? And your growth in leadership, your nurturing in leadership. How can this church bless you and shape you and form you and encourage you and equip you to that goodness of life in Christ? That's a challenge for us, isn't it? And how can you bring all your experience, the way God shaped you, your personality, your character, and bring something where us as a church, we move forward in faith? I think this passage is about the cost of following Jesus, and it's about having faith for the future, even though we don't quite see it and know it. There's a lot in store when we induct someone into the role that you are taking, to invest in this church, that this church may be a beacon of light for the future. What is ahead? I have got no idea. The danger is that people think I should have the idea. But the Spirit blows where it wills. And we have to be attentive in our following in such a way that we are obedient in moving forward. Looking ahead. And the last one is not going it alone. Team over individual. I really think this is crucial. Ever since I've been here, I've talked about what it means to be team. Now, team is never perfect. But there's a striving and a desire that we are together following Jesus. It's no coincidence that after this whole debate about what it means to follow me. Jesus then calls out people, not on their own, but two by two. You and I have worked together. There were questions here about that. Oh my goodness, you know, what? Have you just cherry-picked Alison? No. The truth is no. But at the same time, I do know what it means to work with you. And I'm learning what it means to work with others. And others are learning what it means to work with me. But actually, we're called to serve the purposes of God's kingdom together, not alone. Together in worship, together in mission, together in community has been the theme of the year. And we're going into a sermon series later on in the autumn, seeking God together. There's unity even in our diversity. And you came on the 18th of October last year, and you led Strength Finders. And these are Alison's strengths, everybody. This is what we've got. Someone who is a developer. She develops others. She's going to work alongside Jackie and Martin and Emma and Amanda and Claire and me, and she will bring development, and we hope that we can help you develop too. Strategic. This is where we're going to have a real struggle. Because I'm strategic too. I can see the big picture and so can you, but sometimes you might not see eye to eye, and that's actually a great place to be, because then it means we're actually seeking God in what is ahead. Positivity, it radiates. If I could ask you to stand, those who feel like they are more negative than positive, please, no, don't stand. That would be horrendous. But there are some people who are half glass empty, and there are others who are half glass full. You are definitely a half glass full person. Your joy radiates. Your passion for Jesus is infectious. And you will bring life. And I can't wait. You're an arranger. No idea what that means, apart from maybe arranging the toys after the service or arranging people and their gifts, or connecting people. You can tell us more about what a ranger is. But this last one is so crucial. I believe Alison, if you get to know her, will love you in such a way that you'll see something of the presence of Jesus. Sorry to lay that upon you. But there is a love that she shows, an empathy that she has, which is a wonderful gift to any community. Ask Orchard Baptist Church. Ask Roheath Pavilion. Ask the Strength Finders community. She loves with authenticity, and it's genuine, and it's transparent. So, in your leadership here, be a follower first. Cherish that relationship with the Lord. Look ahead. Help us to look ahead, not to just maintain this thing called church, but to look ahead. And thank you that you're going to help us to not go it alone. Leadership can be very lonely, but you're here not to go it alone yourself, but for us to journey with you and you to journey with us. We are delighted and we're grateful to God. Amen.